You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today, my special guest is Matt Keeney. And Matt is actually from right around my hometown, just about 10 minutes outside my hometown of Portsmouth in Lucasville, Ohio. And he has Dreamboat Fitness. And he's got a really cool story because, you know, he started this while working a full-time job that, you know, stable and, you know, a solid successful income, and grew this to a point now that he's gone all in. So I'm excited to talk with Matt today about not only that, but kind of the next iteration, because he has some exciting things coming down the line. So welcome, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be a part of the show.
Awesome. So give the listeners a little bit of your backstory, the Dreamboat Fitness backstory, and that'll help set the stage for some of what we want to work on today.
Yeah. So like you said, Pat, small town kid from Lucasville, Ohio, about 10 minutes north where you grew up. I kind of grew up to a broken home. Mom didn't graduate college. Dad was kind of an alcoholic and kind of unstable environment. So middle school, I kind of found myself gravitating towards weightlifting and sports because that allowed kind of an equal playing field in school. You know, you don't get looked as that kid. And through finding like kind of a purpose and passion in weightlifting and sports, I had a pretty good successful high school career in sports. That led me to play football at Morehead State in Kentucky. You know, following graduation, I went into teacher coach. I always thought I was going to be a teacher coach. Applied for a couple of jobs upon graduating, didn't get that. That led me to a construction job up in Piketon, Ohio at a Department of Energy plant, which in our hometown, it kind of seems like is the mecca facility that you get on the A plant and or the Department of Energy and, you know, you got it made, right? White picket fence, stable income, then comes, you know, the marriage, the kids. And at 28 years old, I got married, had two kids, wife and I. My wife actually worked at that facility as well. Stable income, built a house. And then about 32 years old, I looked in the mirror and just was totally unhappy. As I clocked in and clocked out, I was just was not happy. Just had a negative attitude. Surely there's more to life. So I went back to the gym, kind of started training, and really started diving into self-education and using myself as a guinea pig. As far as 30-day challenges, 60-day challenges, and just really my life changed at 32 years old. From there, I went and got certified as a CrossFit coach, and I think 2016, I got hired on at a local gym in Portsmouth, Ohio, through Adele King, a local entrepreneur, very thankful for his friendship and, you know, just basically being the pilot of all of Southern Ohio in the fitness aspect. From there, I'm a dad. I'm in a unique situation because 5 p.m. is kind of like my only time to do. I work, you know, 10-hour days. I train. So I'm trying to think how I can monetize myself, as I really feel like I'm worth more than $10, $15, $20 an hour. So therefore, I worked hard on creating some outdoor group-based fitness at my local high school. It was a small town, so I had some friends and family connections. I looked at what majority of people's most valuable asset is their time. If people spending 20 minutes in a car one way, 20 minutes in a car back, that's 40 minutes. A lot of adults don't have that. So if you can create, you know, just what's easy for somebody to do, you know, just drive 2 or 3 minutes down the road to work out. So basically we just established a very successful outdoor group-based fitness in the middle of a school parking lot. It sounded like crazy. Nobody thought it would succeed. I did that for 1 year and then recently opened up my own gym out of a 3-car garage. And pretty much that led me to you today.
Awesome. So give the listener kind of a state of the union, like how many clients do you have now in the facility that you have?
So we have roughly probably about 85 monthly reoccurring memberships. And then we fluctuate between 15 to 20, you know, drop-in clients per month or daily. I offer, you know, just the daily drop-in that helps out. I encourage bring your friend on the weekends. And then just this past month, since June, we established a kids program that brought in 15 kids I accepted, and then also a teacher program that I went out to a different school and got 10 teachers to sign up to kind of, you know, reach some different communities.
Awesome. Now, just to give the listeners a little bit of context, I mean, you primarily draw from two smaller kind of communities that are outside of Portsmouth, what, Lucasville, and then maybe to a lesser extent, Memphard. Is that about right?
Yeah, correct.
How many people are in Lucasville and how many people are in Memphard, do you think?
Like population-wise?
Yep.
I think maybe 3,000 people in Lucasville. That might be more or less 3,000. Memphard is kind of rural area. I think it's just very farm-based. I mean, you're talking in both towns, maybe two red lights, a Save-A-Lot, a grocery store, a couple gas stations. I mean, no industry, just schools. And then, so yeah, Memphard might be another 3,000 to 5,000 possibly.
Right. So we're looking at roughly, you know, a population of maybe 8,000 people that you're drawing from, and you're already, you know, counting the kind of ancillary programs you just added on, you're already reaching about 100 people, it sounds like. So that's terrific. So let's talk about kind of what's next and what questions you have. I know that you and I have kind of talked separately about the fact that you're going to be moving into a new location. So can you talk a little bit about that for a minute?
Yeah. So very thankful where I'm at now. So my business is my primary business a year and a half ago. It was seasonal from April, May to October because I'm outdoors in the middle of parking lots on the football fields. So last October, I gained some momentum, training about 60 people in a parking lot. I had to have a roof, and I just kept taking it day by day, you know, like something's just going to work out. A guy approached me and said that he had a 3-car garage and pretty good space that he would rent out. However, it's not really an ideal location. It's kind of a curvy road in the middle of nowhere. But so I asked my members, and they said, yeah, go for it. I didn't want to lose all that positive momentum I created. However, my main niche is like based around the local school in the community. I have a great relationship with the superintendent of the schools and the athletic director. So me and a businessman collaborated, and this fall we should be building a new 3,500 square foot facility, pole barn style, but a storefront. So that's coming up this September.
That was it. Like, you're moving into this new spot, and it's kind of closer to main thoroughfares, closer to the high school. So you're actually moving to a place that should be more convenient, you know, allow for more clientele.
So to put it in text, I guess, to the listeners, I'm training 15 to possibly up to 25 people on the hour, 5 hours out of the day. And I'm doing this out of 1,200 square feet. And I have a small bathroom in that takes up some space as well. So that's just to give some dimensions here.
Okay, good. So let's go ahead. Now that we've kind of given people maybe some understanding of the environment, of the situation, what do we want to work on today? I know we're going to probably try to cover a couple things. So what's question number one?
Okay, question number one. I have three questions here for you. I guess where I'm at now, my business is based off just relationships, just treating people with respect, reaching out, the daily text. I am not very good at website design, graphic design, all this, the Instagram social. So I guess how important would it be to get a website up and going? I think small town Lucasville compared to Columbus, Ohio, how important is a website, the funnels and all that right now where in my current situation?
Well, I think you're living proof that it's not that important, right? I mean, you're already at 100 people without doing. So maybe the better way to approach it is, what should you be doing to move into this new spot, and kind of where does that fall on the list? Because, you know, I think having a website, having some social media presence is valuable, but kind of where does that fall on the list of all the things you potentially can and should be doing to set the stage to be successful in this new spot. Let's look like, I mean, you have a Facebook page, you've got, you know, some information there clearly. I think from your perspective, social media above all else is just a way to potentially help your clients spread the word about what you do. So if you're posting pictures, if you're posting videos, if you're tagging clients, if you're recognizing clients there, if you're getting them to share stuff on their feed, you know, that's just allowing you to have more exposure to their kind of network without necessarily always relying on, you know, bring a friend days or charity events or something where you're pulling them in into the community. So should you be doing some of that socially? Yes. Could you probably get by with just doing that primarily on Facebook right now? I would say if I were going to tighten up my social media presence and my online presence as a whole, I would probably build, I would have a simple website done that, if nothing else, just kind of gave somebody a little bit of information. So if somebody looks for you, they can't, you know, they're finding you. At most, I would do that. I don't think I would be worried about blogging. I wouldn't be worried about anything else other than just making sure that you had something that's clean and presentable and reflective of what you do. Because like, if you're talking about going to a school board, if you're talking about like kind of the relationships you have, well, if the superintendent at a local school district mentions you to the board or something like that, they probably need to be able to do their homework and they can at least find you and do a little bit of research. But, you know, I think the social media side of things with just sharing the good work that's going on in your gym, sharing the experiences, the results, making sure that stuff's visible, I would be doing a lot of work with that. So let's kind of put that into the bigger picture. I know you wanted to talk about the grand opening facility, kind of where that all fits in. I think that, okay, you're going to have this new location and you guys anticipate it being ready to go somewhere around the fall, right?
Yeah, September, October. Yeah, it could be done as early as September, October. So yeah, it's June now, June, July, August. So I think we're going to, I don't know when this airs. We were planning on letting the cat out of the bag. Just late July, we're having a fitness competition at Valley Stadium with a kind of social event after, which is cool. Some of the members already know. Kind of how.
Fortunately for us, I'm guessing that there might be like two people other than you in Souda County who would listen to my podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
So let me give you an idea of how this would kind of work together. I think one of the cool things that I've seen some of the people we work with do whenever they're getting ready to go into a new space, they're doing a lot of picture and video documentation of the, you know,
the process
of that new space. Yeah. So they're creating some anticipation. They're creating some excitement. So people are eager to go in and see it firsthand because they're learning about it. So I think that I would be using Facebook a great deal there. I think that, if you've got somebody, be it your wife or coach or somebody that's eager to do the Instagram side of it, it's not much different, right? I mean,
yeah,
you know, but, you know, I don't know that that has to be a huge priority other than the, you know, I think Facebook, for your audience, I think Facebook probably does pretty well for this.
Yeah, I feel confident in like the Facebook post, speaking and creating engagement. It was just more like the website. I just look at what I'm not doing. I'm like, oh, crap. You know, I'm a year in. I don't have a website. So I kind of feel like a failure, but, you know, things are going well. So you just compare yourself to other.
Let's think about why somebody has a website, right? It's to represent their business and get people in the door. Well, you're already getting people in the door. So you're getting the outcome that you want. But I think that now, so much of the marketing and the relationship building happens through social that the website can often be secondary as a vehicle to just kind of reinforce
for sure
what you do. So I think that's the role the website will play. You can do most of what you do through Facebook. And then as far as grand opening goes, well, obviously we want to tease it through social media. You want to have a grand opening event probably a month into being open, provided, you know, you get out there. I mean, if a month being open is Thanksgiving, that's probably not the best date. But if being open is somewhere late October, early November, something like that, you want to have enough time to let your clients come in and experience it. But we want to have an event that you can rally all the people in Lucasville community around, that you can get your clients to bring friends about. You want to have, like, what's so great about having kind of a grand opening event is it gives you a deadline that you can really push. And, you know, it's a reason why people will come in instead of saying, well, I'll do it next week, I'll do it the week after. There's that urgency that you're creating. So I would definitely have a grand opening event, you know, 3 to 4 weeks into being open, depending on how that kind of lines up in the latter part of the fall. I would definitely be building up the anticipation on social media. I would be sharing a lot about what you're doing there. I would be communicating with the local media. You know, the Portsmouth Daily Times is probably not a tough venue to get a little bit of media attention in. I mean, I forwarded a press release to them about a book that I wanted to get, you know, my best friend Jeff some recognition that he had co-authored. And I mean, they ran the press release verbatim. And I think that you're not going to have a whole lot of trouble getting media there. I think you could probably get the local radio stations, you know, at least one of them to give you a little bit of attention as well. I mean, what's nice about the whole Southern Ohio community at this point is there's been maybe a disproportionate amount of bad media. So it seems like they've done a pretty good job lately of picking up things that, like, when something goes well, getting some media attention for it is going well. And I know that, you know, Dale with
PSKC, Doc Spartan.
They've done really well with using events to gain attention. A lot of the charity events that they've done, you know, tying in with local causes. Now, he's done a lot of the local causes he's gone after have been military stuff, whereas I think there are plenty of other great local causes there that you could align yourself with and use to really create some support in the community, get more media attention around. And just basically the whole idea being, for the people that are maybe a little more conveniently located to you, make sure they're aware and get the opportunity to come in and experience what you have to offer. So lots of free publicity opportunities there, lots of, you know, the grand opening celebration opportunity, you know, some very simple social media strategies. And then I would probably be using this as an opportunity to go around, and it's this great reason why, right? You're building something new. So you've got this great reason why to go into all the local businesses, all the local organizations that are, you know, pretty close proximity to where you're going to be, and invite them, invite their employees in and say, hey, you can come in and experience what we have to do for a couple weeks free of charge.
Yeah.
Because you've got this wonderful kind of novelty that you only really get when you're new in a market, right? And so, I mean, you know, there are enough small businesses or organizations like the school or whatever else where you can just say, hey, look, come in and, you know, we want to support the local community. So we'll give you 2 weeks, we'll give you 21 days free of charge as our guest. So you can just come in and take advantage of what we have to offer.
So you're saying the local businesses, anybody that's on staff or employed through, you know, the local Wendy's in Lucasville, there's multiple mom and pop shops, 83 Sweets, and
Yeah, so there's all sorts of stuff there. And because this approach is not something that they're getting bombarded with a lot, because there aren't a lot of other people tugging at their attention.
Oh yeah, they're wanting locally. They go in asking for something rather than giving.
Yeah. So you going in and gifting somebody anywhere from 2 weeks to a month free is going to get them in the door, and they're going to be excited because it's kind of neat and new. And
one question with that, do you like the idea, say, for just numbers, say October 1st is grand opening, just you go in there to these businesses, say you give them a certificate of a free month. Do you like to put like a deadline on that? Like say, hey, this has to be completed through October 15th through November 15th.
No, I don't think I would worry too much about that, because, you know, ultimately it's probably not a terrible thing for you if there's some staggered, you know, staggered growth there. And, you know, you could easily go back around in January and say, hey, this offer still stands. I just wanted to make sure that if you hadn't taken advantage of this, you can still come in. And so that gives you kind of the second opportunity to go back and just reinforce what you've already done.
Got you. I love it. I love that. I'm kind of pride myself on, you know, going and getting it rather than wait, you know, waiting for somebody to walk through your doors. So like just putting flyers at a Little League baseball game, you know, just having the courage to go walk into a principal and say, hey, I want to gift your staff with wellness. So yeah, I'm excited. That's one thing I'm not afraid to do is go ask. I mean, seven people tell me no, long as three of them say yes, it's a win.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that you can do what's great is some of that kind of grassroots marketing, the giving somebody a free opportunity. It's not played out in every market. Some people, you know, might be skeptical in certain markets because there have been a lot of free actually equals, hey, you're going to walk in and we're going to ask you for a deposit that we'll refund or something like that. But in your market, that's not the case. So I think this is a really strong play for you. And frankly, if it were me, I would be looking at the press releases, the social media. If certain things, the only way I'd be really doing much as far as actually spending on advertising would be, you know, if you get certain social media posts that gain some traction, I might spend a little bit of money to boost them to just create a little bit more visibility. But I mean, we're talking tens of dollars, not thousands.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, what's greater is there are so many small local causes, be it donating money back to like, hey, we'll do a charity workout this week and we'll donate money back to a local youth sports league. And then your goal is to get the local youth sports league to share it with all the parents of all the kids. And, you know, those sorts of things. There are so many opportunities that you have there that because there's just not, you know, I mean, it's not a big market that we're talking about between Lucasville and Memphis, but there's not a ton of direct competition that is nearly as convenient. I mean, you win the convenience battle like head and shoulders over facilities that might be 15 minutes down the road or something.
Yeah, that's really that's what I'm so excited about. And, you know, what got this thought in motion was that Medford and Lucasville communities are going to be traveling 30, 45 minutes, whether it's Chillicothe, Ashland, Portsmouth. You know, if they had the opportunity to drive 5 minutes, it seems like a no-brainer if you provide valuable service. And
yeah, the convenience factor is one of the most important ones in general adult fitness for sure. So,
yeah.
All right, so that's some grand opening stuff. So what was the next question you wanted to touch on?
Okay, I guess part B to grand opening, would you, as say you get 50 new leads walk through the door in the grand opening, would you try to get them to say, hey, here's a 12-month package at a discounted rate or anything like that, and then we can move on, like any type of promotion?
I don't think I would discount my overall rate. I think I might discount the first month for a lot of people, right? Because the goal here would be to get everybody paying the same ongoing rate. Like, so we don't necessarily want, you know, having rates across the board, but I would be more than happy to incentivize somebody and say anything from your first month is half off to, depending on your cash flow, there are probably instances where you could do your first month all the way down to a dollar, right?
Yeah.
So the goal would be, let's get them paying their recurring rate at a normal price. And right. It sounds like because of the way that you've negotiated your rent, you know, based on the previous conversation where you're going to have a little bit of a decreased rent out of the gate, the cash flow stuff shouldn't be such an issue that you couldn't incentivize people up front. And what's great about that is, you know, if you incentivize people during that first month, a couple things happen, right? Like, you have that standard recurring rate that they're always going to pay. So there's some uniformity, there's higher cash flow in the back end. But the other piece of this puzzle is you're giving people immediate gratification, which I think most people respond to. And so much of what people don't recognize in any industry is you buy your customers, you buy your clients. So if you can use a discounted first month of the service to deliver great results, instead of having to pay a lot to get somebody to come in and pay full price by having to do a lot of advertising and everything else, I mean, your best marketing asset in many cases is just the experience and service you provide. So I think that's a great tool that you can use that doesn't cannibalize your long-term revenue.
Okay, good. Great answer. I appreciate that. And go on, I guess, with that as a, I'm not saying rapid growth and expansion, but I am a dad. I am a husband. I have some yard work. With right now, I'm doing, you know, on the floor from 5 a.m. and shutting the doors at 8 p.m. That's not long-term sustainable. So bringing on staff, just some tips and pointers of hiring and firing staff, maybe a little bit of pay scale and, you know, incentives, promotions with staff.
So the first thing about staff I would tell you would be, you know, I always prefer to look in my own network, look at people I know. In fact, people who work with me now are all people that I've had relationships with, or, you know, that my wife had relationships with. It, you know, you already kind of know about them as a person. You understand their values. You understand how they are when it comes to being on time, how they are when it comes to treating other people, you know, with respect, whether or not they're personable, whether or not they're social, like all the things you may look for as intangibles in a staff. You know, I'd rather hire somebody I knew and then get them the education, the training knowledge, because ultimately you're going to ask them to go out there and do your stuff, right? You're going to ask them to go out there and follow your plan. So having, you know, 5, 6, 8 years of experience probably isn't that big a deal. So that's the first piece of the puzzle, is I would look at people that I know. And, you know, and it could be clients you want to work part-time. It could be friends of clients. I don't think I'd be posting an ad somewhere. I think I would be talking to my network first and foremost, and then having a development plan in place that you're going to take somebody through to make sure that by the end of this onboarding, they are equipped to represent your business well. The second thing that I would do would be to go talk to the director of the sports management, sports science program at the local university, which I'm certainly very familiar with and I'm happy to introduce you to if need be, and see about getting an intern. They, you know, they have a need, and there aren't a lot of internship opportunities in the kind of sports sciences landscape in Southern Ohio. Got, you know, people are going to have to get outside of there to experience a lot of relevant industry kind of specific stuff. And so you might be able to get people who are more in line with like the exercise science side of things, or maybe somebody who's in kind of sports management wants to understand the fitness industry and the management of the fitness industry a little bit better. So I think that a paid intern, and I'm not suggesting that you're asking people to work free, I'd say you know, some sort of stipend for an intern, and then you're going to put them in a situation where, okay, we're going to have a curriculum that makes them better equipped to go out and hit the ground running in the proverbial real world whenever they graduate. So those would be the two things that I would start with. As far as compensation, in your market, you know, probably starting out paying somebody $13, $14 an hour for part-time employment is probably not too bad. And I think that gives you a little bit of flexibility to increase compensation over time without cannibalizing your margins. But it also probably allows you to pay somebody maybe a little bit better than you would pay them for some other part-time jobs that might be available to them.
Yeah. Yeah, good deal. What about just how do you, being a new business owner and things, say you hire somebody and things don't go, you know, you just don't, not the person that you thought they were, I guess. So I guess we'll just call it firing or.
Oh, yeah. So the whole kind of hire slow, fire fast is a cliche that I think what we find most of the time is most of the cliches that have stood the test of time are rooted in a lot of truth. But I think that you have to set somebody up to succeed in any job. You have to be clear about what the expectations are of that person. Like, okay, this is what being successful in this job would look like. You're going to be training in this way. You're going to be, you know, here during these hours. You're going to show up early for sessions. You're going to, you know, I mean, you're going to do A, B, C, and D, and you're going to do it in this way. So there's a clear job description. It's clear that they know what being good at the job looks like. And then you're going to train them to meet those standards of performance, and you're going to hold them accountable. And then it becomes very black and white if the standards of performance that you need them to meet are clear. And then you can say, hey, you know what? We're not meeting these standards. Here's what we have to do to kind of step it up. And then so the first place that you look is, have I been clear? The second place you look is, have I trained them well and coached them to meet those standards? And then third, have I reinforced this on a continual basis so they don't drift? And if you've done those things, then, you know, I mean, you can kind of, I mean, I guess you can call it a warning, but it's more like a performance review. And then
yeah.
If they don't get it done, then you say, look, hey, we're not meeting these. And this is what I need for this business to be healthy and successful. So either we're going to meet them or we're going to have to part ways. And that's kind of it. Where we run into trouble, I think, is when we get into this very subjective, I wasn't clear about what I need from you, but I'm going to judge you by a standard you don't understand.
Yeah.
So as long as you're clear and as long as you've set somebody up to succeed, I think that you can always go back to the standard and say, look, we're not meeting it.
Yeah, cool. Good content. As far as the website, you know, things are going well. I just kind of compare myself. You always think what you're not doing. And so, you know, things are going well right now. It could impact later on.
Yeah, I don't think I would sweat the website.
I'm not either.
I would look at how do I get a very simple representation of my business up. So if somebody wants to go and learn more about who we are and what we do, they can. But that, I don't think I would be putting a whole lot of my time and energy on that when you could be going and connecting with people very proactively instead of hoping they will find you.
Yeah, for sure. And then I appreciate the grand opening. I was thinking, just talking to you, grand opening, I was thinking the very first door, the very first time we had a class. So that's good information knowing that, hey, be settled in for a couple weeks. And then, you know, 21 days later, whatever, have the allow my current members to enjoy that process and then build off that. So that's good.
We're good.
Yeah, I've recently reached out to some, like I said, I've been on the floor from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's exhausting. You can't do that your whole time. And I have looked thoroughly throughout the gym and the community and have found a few people, and I'm eager to help. You know, my job is to coach the coach. Like, I want to reproduce 3 to 5 of me and just give them every tool they need to be successful.
Well, good. So, well, I'm sure that you and I will have separate conversations outside the podcast, but hopefully you got what you needed here to hit the ground running with some of this stuff during the course of the call.
Yeah, man, I appreciate your time, Pat, and thanks for having me on. Looking forward for you to help me grow my ideal business. How about that?
I love it. I love it. And you enjoy the rest of vacation. Yes, Matt was kind enough to jump on with us during his vacation. So thanks again. And thank you guys for listening in to another episode of the Ideal Business Show. This is Pat Rigsby signing off.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.